Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then for everybody else, this is Sonia Vey. Are you from New York?
Yes.
You're from New York. Okay, so. And I've known you like 7 years, probably since I started comedy. Or maybe a little more, six.
I moved back to New York at the end of, the very end of 2016. So maybe we met in 2017.
Okay, so how many years is that? 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you did my show. And when Sonia did my show.
That was great.
My dad loved you as well. And he still to this day asks how you're doing and he's still doing comedy.
That's very sweet of him. I will say, you never get tired of like hearing people be your fans, you know, like, so it's like, I welcome, wish he could come to every one of my shows.
Yeah, yeah, and he is a real fan. He still asks, and he was very vocal at the time at the comedians he didn't like.
So, well, I'm glad I made the cut, because that sounds
He was
intense.
Horrified by Mike Racine's, we'll be having sex with dogs joke.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Not
I don't
us,
even remember
but
that
was
that,
his joke.
But yeah.
Yeah, and then another comedian had a joke about her vagina. What was it that there was gunk growing in her?
Oh, gross.
Fungus.
Oh my God.
And he was like, Jesus Christ.
He's like, is this American comedy?
He was like, is there fungus everywhere? Even in vaginas? I thought it'd be fun to talk about, because obviously I know it's going to be like a week late by the time everybody listens to this, but the Oscar stuff with obviously Will Smith, and I'm sure you guys are exhausted hearing about it, so we won't talk about it too much, just quickly, because so for us comedians, a lot of people are like, oh, a lot of male comedians are posting that comedy isn't safe anymore because of Will Smith. And I just think that's so funny because comedy has never been safe for women.
For women, ever.
Yeah, it's like...
Just like the world is not safe. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think especially for female comedians, because it's like Wendy Sterling, has a joke about it where she says her website was literally like a catalog for stalkers to find her. Because like we're publicly post, like we have to post our dates,
right?
And
right.
So you can never hide from a stalker. It's like we're the easiest bait.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we
and are. Then we walk home late from shows. Yes. We don't make enough money to be getting Ubers.
I know.
My therapist was like, "Why don't you get Ubers from the show?" And I'm like, "Because then I'm just working for Ubers.
Yeah,
not
then I'm just losing money.
yeah. I might not make as much as what an Uber will cost home.
Exactly. I don't know. The thing that bothered me the most about the Will Smith story was that people were blaming Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
And I was just like, she has nothing to do with this. And I think this is like an age old thing where men tend to put responsibility on women for their actions. And I'm just like, Will Smith is a man. He made that decision by himself.
Yeah.
She didn't ask him to go slap Chris Rock. She rolled her eyes. That's all she did.
That's all she did. And in fairness to her, I had someone reach out to me and ask questions for, they were looking for Irish comedians to comment on some like Irish, I'm actually not 100% sure what it was, but she asked me, do you think appearance-based jokes have no, what was the word she said? Basically that they're not going to be accepted in our modern society. And I was like, no, because that it's not that Chris Rock meant an appearance-based joke, but the reason why Jada was upset is because it's actually a joke about her illness to her.
Right.
Which I'm sure he didn't
He
mean.
Didn't know about.
And I think that's how she took it.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm sure she, if it were just an appearance, it's fine. Like appearance-based jokes are not as hard as your actual like jokes on your personality.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that's why she's she probably couldn't understand that he wouldn't know it, because she's built her Instagram is on like her being like, well, I'm happy I've shaved my head and I'm dealing with this disease.
Right.
But I'm sure he never checked her Instagram. He probably just looked at the picture and was like, ah, she looks like G.I. Jane.
I mean, to be honest, I bet you he thought of that joke, or, you know, the team of writers probably thought of it. They probably looked at people in the audience and thought, where can we make jokes?
Yeah.
And it wasn't the best joke. I mean, it wasn't a great joke.
It's also outdated. I didn't even know what G.I. Jane looked like when he said that. I thought he was saying she looked like a man. I did not get it. And then
you didn't get the movie reference.
I thought he was saying he looked like a, you know, like a bald man, those dolls.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was a G.I. Joe.
No, it is. Yeah. But there was a movie, I can't remember how long ago this was, but it was like Demi Moore and she shaves her head and she's G.I. Jane. Like, I don't remember much.
That's really outdated.
Yeah. And I think that exactly, it's outdated, and it was not a great joke, you know. So I get why she rolled her eyes, but Will Smith actually laughed at that joke.
He laughed
initially,
and then when he saw her face, Tori Piskin had a great Instagram story about it where she said, "Do you think that when he saw her face, he was like, shit, that they've been in therapy maybe?" And she was like, "You never have my back with anything. You never have my back with the kids. You never have my back at work." And he was like, "This is my time to prove it."
Yeah. And well, he chose the wrong time.
I mean, yeah. It makes, like, if Leland, one of the reasons why I'm dating Leland is because he's so calm and quiet and like he would never, and like his temperament is just lovely and relaxing to be around. I would be mortified if someone slapped, and it's not, okay, it's not chivalrous. It's you're saying that I can't defend myself. Like, I'm sure Jada would have spoken to Chris Rock later and said, hey, even just her giving a dirty look was enough.
Right.
That was enough. Yeah. And then, like, if Will Smith had said to him later, or Jada had said to him, I'm sure Chris Rock would have been like, I had no idea you had an illness, and I'm so sorry that you struggled with that. And it would have been like, fine, it's between them. And the fact that he slapped Chris Rock means we're still talking about it. Like, that gave that joke so much more of a... I always find if someone says something mean to me in the comments, I won't respond to it because now I'm giving them power. I'll just like do a laughy face or ignore it, because it's like now they know that that's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, I think Will Smith, obviously, he was in the wrong 100%, but he made that decision on his own. She is not responsible for this.
No.
She has every right to feel upset about it.
Yeah.
But he... I mean, that's just such a... I don't know. I just felt like so much male toxicity,
God, it was like... Like,
it was like out of the page book or something, like the definition is this.
I had just been watching Bridgerton, and then I was like, oh, so I guess I was watching the Oscars. Because it's like he hand slapped him. Like, he might as well have taken his glove out and whipped him with a glove. Like, Jesus. And like, Chris Rock handled it really well. Here's the other thing though. One thing I will say about comedy is like, okay, for all those people at the Oscars, I truly think that the comedian staff or whatever should say, hey, we're going to do jokes about you guys, and give them a heads up, because she probably didn't come there to get roasted. She's in her classy dress and not everybody wants to, and I think not everybody should be roasted. I think you should be like, okay, I'm willingly accepting being roasted, and that's cool, whatever you say. I just think...
I agree, but I think that's been...
part of it. They know that they're coming to it
for years and years and years, so it's kind of, you're putting yourself out there, and
that's true. Maybe she just didn't expect it because she's not up for an Oscar. Maybe I mean, they should have probably just roasted.
She does have this condition, so for her it was a personal jab, and I understand that, right?
And I think there's more as well, because she openly talks about how she struggled with her hair even before she shaved it, so this is like so hitting her in like the gut. It's awful. Still though, you don't go up and slap. You, this is the perfect time to show. They're so funny, like celebrities will get on and be like, no fighting in the world, and then like, you know, and they'll sing a song,
right?
And then this would have been the perfect time to show like grace. And then when he got his acceptance speech, or if he didn't get the Oscar, tweet out afterwards being like, hey, I'm sure Chris meant a joke, but like, let's be really careful of people's like illnesses, and this can really upset them.
Right. It could have been like a teachable moment, after the fact, right? But I also think that some people just go to extremes, and they're just like, oh, violence is never the answer. I disagree. There are times where violence is a legitimate answer. One being maybe when black men are being shot in the streets and murdered. Like, I understand why there's violence, right? Because when everything else fails, that's all you have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in this case, case was nowhere close to anything like that's life-threatening.
No.
Or, you know, I mean, somebody did something to my kid, I would like burn the world, right? Like, yeah. if I had 100%. A child, absolutely. And I think any parent would understand that. Right, exactly. You understand that rage, yeah. Even if you don't even have a right to do it, but you understand it. In this yeah. case, I mean,
and like you said, he laughed, then he saw her reaction, yeah. then he reacted. He tucked his like hand in like he was walking off like a cowboy.
Oh, he did?
So embarrassing.
I didn't
yeah, the way
see
he
that.
Tucked his
I
hand
didn't
into his
that.
And then like for it was funny, I think, for Chris Rock is I'd say he wrote so many like entanglement jokes or like jokes about the fact that she sleeps with other men or slept with a younger man, and was like, okay, well, this is the nicest joke we can do about Will Smith. We'll just make a joke about Jada's appearance. And then he was probably like, what, this is the nut, because he literally goes it's a G.I. Jane. Yeah, he did not
he's
know.
Like, dude, it's a G.I. Jane. Yeah, yeah.
The poor guy, he's probably sitting at home being like, well, I should have fucking done those younger man jokes or whatever she did. Yeah. I know that they had like a potentially open or not open relationship,
but I feel like people keep bringing that into the conversation, and I was like, that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's because, well, I think bringing it in for Chris is because I bet you he had wrote meaner jokes about that, and then that's why.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
I feel like he was probably I can't obviously presume to know what he thinks, but I'm just imagining he was thinking, oh, this is a nice joke to do compared to all the stuff that they have on them. And then I think the reason why other people are bringing it in, because they're like, why would he slap him over a joke? But I think men can't understand that because he came across as like being actually quite mature in everything
yes,
that happened
he
with
did.
Jada. You know, understanding and saying, yeah, we went through a trial open and this is what happened and we didn't want to talk about it. But since you guys know our personal business, it
yeah.
seems like he handled that all with like a really high emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Then to go slap someone over a joke, it's not the same person.
I know.
Maybe he got way too much in character. Per Richard Williams was like, I don't condone that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That yeah. was really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what was going through his mind, but I'm glad Chris Rock responded the way he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was such a moment of grace. And when he said that was the slap heard around the world or whatever, he was right about it because it was
true. Wait, what did he respond saying?
I think he said that was the slap heard around the world or something.
He said
something
that on stage
like that.
Or a tweet?
Yeah, I think he said it. He said it. Or that
oh,
was
I
the
didn't
most...
see that.
That's the most famous thing that happened
yes.
on television. Something like
yeah.
that.
That's why we all
yeah.
thought it was staged.
Yeah, I didn't think I knew it wasn't staged because he was so taken aback and he didn't even know what to say at one moment. Remember,
yeah.
he kind of looked away and then he said something like that's
yeah.
the most famous thing that's happened on television or something like that.
I would have stopped. I like he's amazing for going ahead. I would have been like,
yeah,
this is not cool. You guys are all laughing. That's
yeah.
not appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. No, it's absolutely also Will Smith and Jada posted on Will Smith posted on his Instagram that day saying we're choosing chaos today, me and Jada, before this happened. So it's just so
oh,
funny.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like they looked really hot and fun, and he was like
oh.
we're choosing chaos at the Oscars. So it's just
and he meant that
yeah,
literally.
yeah Jesus, he really took his own
yeah,
caption.
He did
very seriously.
Did.
I think what's funny though is that now people are like, oh, is this going to make comedy not safe? And I get that you might have some person at a comedy club who thinks it's okay because of Will Smith, but they're just going to get thrown out. There's bouncers.
Yeah.
Before they even make it to the stage,
yeah.
the bouncer's going to be in there. So.
And also, if somebody assaults you, you can sue them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a real thing that you can do. So if somebody is stupid enough to go up to a comedian and hurt them, I mean, first of all, there's tons of witnesses.
Oh, and comedians
right?
tape every set. It's going to be actually recorded.
Yeah, and the club's going to obviously have some, like, they will also take action.
Yeah.
And that person's life will become worse. So
oh, yeah.
hopefully people are smart enough to know to not do that,
yeah.
right? But there's always the chance. I mean, there is always a chance.
And there was a chance before.
There was a chance before. I mean, that's the thing. It's
yeah.
like, I've had people say things to me like, you shouldn't say that, that's gonna get you in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And I was just like, but that's the whole point of being a comedian.
It's
right,
it's so insane to me that so Chris Rock gets slapped for his words.
Yes.
And there are actual musicians and actors who have admitted to assaulting people.
Yes.
and they get like a little in trouble. Like some of them obviously have gotten cancelled, others haven't.
Yeah.
Like Dina Hasham is a great example where, so she's a New York City comedian who made a joke. It was a Venmo joke, not even a joke about that rapper Triple X Takassian. I don't even know how to say his name. I'm so sorry. Please don't send me a death threat for not being able to say his name.
No, but I remember that. Yeah.
So all of, when that was posted on Comedy Central, all of his fans, now he's dead obviously, but sent her family, they found her address, death threats, which is wild because he had, before he died, admitted that he had physically assaulted his ex-girlfriend, so much so she nearly lost her eye. So it's wild to me that fans would then still go after Dina for her words when they didn't tear him down for his physical, like, and also like, it's just comedians always get in trouble for words. What is this society that we live in that people can actually assault people? Right. And then you have people who have been in the Oscars, actors who have been known to throw things or at like production assistants or physically assault women.
Tantrums, things like that. And I just think we just sort of, people just accept that, right? Depends on how powerful you are.
Yeah.
And I think Will Smith got away with this because he's as famous as he is and he makes a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's the only reason he's got away with this. I still
can't believe it. I'm still thinking, it's so funny. And then so there's this comedy club here in New York and they put up a sign saying don't Will Smith someone or whatever, and like we
really
it's
hilarious,
but it's but they also seem to be taking a quite serious tone with it. They're like, we respect our comedians, blah blah blah, and I'm just like, okay, but could you not have put up signs like, please don't rape our female comedians?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of...
Please don't roofie us. Don't rape us. Yeah, please don't hit us.
Please don't. Please, when you take us on the road, don't only take us and book us into a one room so you can try and, like, pressure us into sex.
That happened to me.
Say it. Like, well, I mean...
Not necessarily pressuring but,
like,
sex,
the implication was
very
there.
Very much, just to make me feel bad. And... It was like, I was even okay with sleeping in the same room, but I was like, I don't want to share a bed because we were trying to do it on a budget. And they added this other comic. And the whole time I was like, what are we going to do about the sleeping arrangement? And then that they, two comics were going to sleep in the bed together. And then there was this other comic and he's like, well, you can sleep next to him or sleep on the floor in between the two beds.
No,
well,
that's
those
ridiculous.
Were my options.
No, that's insane. That's insane.
And
that two straight men wouldn't just share a bed so that you as
no,
a
but they're three. There are three guys.
Oh, okay.
Right. But the third guy was just added. Yeah. And I was like,
oh, so then you get to mow it.
So
to floor.
I get to either decide, right. Either sleep in like literally on the hard, cold floor in the middle or on the bed, and I got my own room, and I was just like, this is...
It's insane.
That's insane.
Yeah, no, it's awful. And I've had the same thing where the guy was like, well, why don't you just come watch TV in my bed? And it's like, oh, this is why I was brought here.
Yeah.
And then another comic I know, she said that he was like, come into my bed, this other comic, and then she got up to leave because she was like, is that the only reason why you brought me on the road? And he said, well, you're not that funny. And then he was like, I'm only joking. And it's like, no, but these aren't jokes.
Yeah.
Also, you're not on stage right now. And that's not, this is the other thing. When people say I'm only joking, it's like, no, a structural joke is set up punchline.
Yeah.
This is, you just said something that you truly believe and you're trying to cover it up, implying that the other person doesn't have a sense of humor.
Right. Exactly.
No,
and
yeah.
also it's such an easy way to put a woman down, right?
Yeah,
to be like, well, yeah, I only brought you here because you're attractive, not because you're funny.
Yeah.
And That's just a shitty thing to do.
Yeah.
A woman or to a man, to anyone, right? Like
I said this to someone else and she's very vocal about what happened and she has told multiple people. So it's not like her name is in private or anything like that.
Right.
And she said that as well, that she wants people to know. And I was saying this to another guy and I said her name and he was like, oh, well, she's not that attractive. I don't really believe. And I'm
oh my God.
So now because you don't think she's attractive enough for, isn't that insane?
Well, you know who said that? Our last president, right? He was like, she's not attractive enough to rape. Like
Jesus.
He said that and I'm just like,
I know, it's fucking crazy. But yeah, so that's it. I want the comedy clubs also to have like, oh, actually, yeah, let's not. And it's even for their servers or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, that there is 100%.
Well, I love that they're putting these signs up because the threat is now to men.
Yeah. No one's going to come up and bitch slap us. Not really.
Well.
Because this is the thing. Could you imagine if Will Smith hit a woman? Like if he had hit Amy Schumer or any of the other female comedians,
situation.
That would have been a different story.
Of course,
and that's like another question of like.
But I don't put it past somebody to come up to a female comedian
probably
and hit them.
Yeah.
I don't put it past them because I'm sure that's happened.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Or even I've seen have stuff thrown at them.
Right.
Yeah.
Something. Which is like, yeah. I wouldn't put it past a person to attack a woman on stage versus a man. I think you're obviously taking a bigger risk if you're attacking a woman on stage. But if you're drunk and you're crazy, who knows? Yeah, right. Yeah. So.
Jesus. Yeah. I don't know.
Did you get texts from your friends who are not comedians? Like, just being like, oh wow, your profession is so scary, who knew?
No,
like, be careful. Yeah, I had a friend
you got those text, no
like,
just that woman who reached
being
out
like, but... wow, who knew, like, your profession was so scary, and I was like, I knew.
Yeah. I mean you think that's scary? I went to park shows in the dark, walked through the park alone in the dark, and at the time I had an actual stalker and couldn't post where my shows were, but he could still just Google my name and find it.
That's insane. I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I had one who, and I think I talked about it on the podcast last year, so I'll only quickly say it, but he had like found me from the internet and just believed we were in like some sort of fictitious relationship, but was so delusional about it that he would like tweet and Instagram message and everything. I would block, he would make new, and he would turn up to shows, and he was like an older guy, and it was just mental. But you know, I was very lucky that I talked to a policeman and he dealt with it, and he was a great policeman. So you know, and that's not
good
the situation
for
everybody, but I was very, very lucky. Yeah, it's so funny that now they're like, comedy is dangerous. And comedy has been dangerous for men as well. Like, I remember seeing, I think it was John Lasser or someone. He was definitely on the show with me, but maybe it wasn't him. But this is like when I first started comedy doing it. Remember when the lantern was like in that basement?
Yes.
And someone threw a glass of water on someone. I must ask John, was it him? But it was fucking wild because they didn't agree with the joke. And then I think, someone threw something at Tori once.
No way.
I'm pretty sure it was Tori. She got something thrown at her. And then, like people get so offended about words. And here's the thing. The same words are said in songs or are on movies or whatever. Right. But there's something where when it's in a song or a movie, it's more edible for them. I know edible is not the right word. But like because a song, they'll be like, no comedian is going, I shot them in the head 7 times and then I raped them and then I, you know what I mean? Like there's so many songs that are like quite
violent
or they're like, you know, and I listen to those songs and I'm like bop it around or whatever, but I don't know what it is.
That you're not taking it personally.
Yeah. When a comedian says something, for some reason, a group of people like, James Martin was on the podcast and he said a group of women got so annoyed that he said the word pussy. And it's just a funny thing because I actually think it's totally fine to call someone a pussy. And I have a pussy. But I'm like, whatever, it's a word. And like we say, I say dickhead.
Right.
So, you know, I use their.
But also it's like, I do believe you should be able to say anything you want on stage. Yeah. But you also have to know that people might have certain responses.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be okay with the fact that, hey, you might turn off an entire crowd.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think we should have to expect that, like, not only will the crowd be turned off, but now they have a right to physically assault us. Like, I think absolutely, you say something, people don't like it, you have to deal with that. Like, that's just, he said the word, they didn't like it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, they have a right not to like something.
But I also think they should have a respect that, okay, let's say he said, oh, this guy's like a pussy or whatever. And then they're like, but they were like heckling about how bad that is and shouting about feminism. And it's like, that's not that. This guy is just trying to do his job. Like, pull him aside afterwards. I don't understand why. And I get sometimes heckling can make for a funny clip or whatever. Right. So I don't really sometimes mind it because I'll use it. But I do think that, I don't know. It's a strange that it's like if you were at a play.
Right. That's the thing. If you were at a play and some guy was, let's say, attacking a woman, like in the scene, doing something physically violent.
Yeah.
You're not going to be like, stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And then because it is a performance.
Because it's entertainment. I think people forget when it comes to comedy that this is a form of entertainment. But there is also this dynamic between the audience and us because we do break the fourth wall.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. So that is true. And I feel like
it does open it up.
You're right.
Like
I think
people who go to see comedy regularly, they know not to heckle.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised, I think, how many people
think it's part of it.
And just don't have the experience with going to a lot of comedy, so they think adding to the show.
Yeah,
right?
They really think they're helping. I think it's really important, and I think every host should have this as part of their job.
I agree.
I before I even say a joke, the first thing I say is, I'm going to tell you the rules of CHOP, and that is, please don't be on your phone, please don't talk, because we can hear it, and it's really distracting. Yes. And secondly, do not heckle unless a comedian talks to you.
And I think you really have to important. Say that.
And I think every host should say, because at least then if they do, I can get back on and be like, hey, it was like really, you're like disrupting this comics, you know, and like still be nice and polite and be like, we're still going to have a great time. But you need to be able to, because at least if you set that up and then they do it, even the bouncer can be like, you've been told.
Right. Right. And I think some people just don't know, like we said. So at least now they know, they have the information. Yeah. And so they know they're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Right? Or even another, if I remember to say it, I love to say, I'm going to talk to you guys. Other comedians probably won't. So just be mindful of that.
Right. I say that too when I'm hosting.
Because I love when I'm hosting to talk to them. I know we have to also show them what a joke is. Yes. But it's like nice to be like, where are you guys from? What do you do? Yeah. Who are you? Yeah. You're just really getting like warming them up.
You're warming them up.
But you don't want to talk to them. You don't want to over talk them. Right. So they think it's okay. It's like such a balancing act.
Yes,
being a
host. Is. It is with a host, because I think you have to do the right amount of crowd work, and then you have to do jokes so that they like are subconsciously trained to know that jokes are coming now.
Absolutely.
Right? That it's not going to be a back and forth moving forward.
Yeah.
So, but I think like you said, if you just say those rules, then most people will abide to that. You know, I think unless someone's like really drunk or
100%
really ornery, I don't think it happens.
And a lot of the time, even when they do heckle, I find if it's at a comedy club that they've paid to go do the show, like go watch the shows, most of the time it's not in bad nature.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the odd time there was one guy who was heckling a comedian, and then he like, I think before he got kicked out, he left, but he was like, yeah, they're being homophobic. And then and no one had been homophobic. I was like hosting, I was watching the show. So I was like, and they was talking about one specific guy, but the guy had just said that he had a dream. It's Peter Ravello. He said he had a dream where he, something with Ryan Reynolds, and it made him like question his sexuality. And it was like a funny joke. Yeah. And so, then he was demanding his money back, but it was like near the end of the show. And then the manager was like, wait, what's going on? Like, what happened? And then he goes, they're being anti-Semitic. And then he's like, then the other manager was like, well, he told me they're being homophobic. This guy can't even keep with his.
He just wants his money back.
Yeah. He was really cheap, drunk.
He's cheap and he's drunk.
And then he turned around to the bartender and said, like, he started like saying something to him. He was like, he goes, you wouldn't understand. You're just a straight white guy. And this guy was white, but he's obviously not straight. And then the bartender was like, do not presume my sexuality. Right. You don't know anything.
Right.
And then I went in and I told him, I was like, did you guys hear that noise outside? And they were like, yeah. And they was like, did you see the guy leave? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, was anybody being homophobic? And then this gay couple goes, yeah, you. And I go, was I? And he goes, no. I'm so gullible. I was like, what did I say? What is homophobic?
Like, oh my God, I'm so
I started
sorry.
To like question the meaning of the word. Yeah. And they were laughing so much. They were like, no. And then I was like, well, was anybody else? And they were like, no. And I was like, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then
this guy just wanted his money back.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, he's after being like really rude to the bartender. And so then later on, the bartender told me, he was like, whoa, this is like the most tips I've ever gotten. And then I was like, oh, I told him that guy was being really rude. And he was like, yeah, I think that really helped. I think they all felt really
okay,
bad.
So now we know one thing. You can just say that and then the bartender will get better tips.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
At least something good came out of it.
He wasn't even on the show and he's getting like shit. Oh, God. Yeah.
But that's also like ordering a drink and then drinking almost all of it and then being like, this didn't taste good. Can I have my money back? Like, that's all he was doing.
It's wild. I've had people do that at the bar. It's so funny. And it's funny because it's like really strong, like crazy IPAs and stuff, but they will like come up with like half of it and you'll be like,
I didn't know at the first sip.
Didn't
impact you.
It takes all
like,
of
you
your
have no
strength to not be passive aggressive. I always play dumb. I'm always like, oh yeah, no worries. We're still in happy hours, so you can just buy another one. It's only $5.
Right.
And they're always like, oh, okay. I always kill everybody with kindness.
Yeah, that's smart. I don't think that's a bad way to, you know, live life.
I know, but then you go home and you're like, I want to punch a wall.
Yeah, that is true. You have to take it out somewhere, right?
Yeah, no. That's why I take those primrose pills now.
I'm going to try that. I can't wait.
I'm swearing by it. It's so good.
Anything that will help. My God.
I'm trying to think. I think that's all for the Oscar stuff. Because I don't... It's interesting, too, as well, like, about the jokes as well. Like... I do think if he had done an extra Google, he would have. Because what's funny about Chris Rock is he did a whole documentary on hair.
Yes. Good hair.
So, yeah, he should have just done an extra. But, you know, I just don't think we should be so offended by words is the main thing, I think, for the most part. Like, people roast me all the time. And it's funny because it's not actual structural jokes. It's just men in my DMs or on my posts. And they think they're being funny. But also, I'm like, whatever at this.
But it's like, if you're offended by words, you can be offended, but just don't take physical action.
Not
right?
That
like,
offense.
I think you should be, if you want to be offended, be offended. Also, if something truly offends you, you have a right to your feelings.
True. Yeah, like, obviously, I would be offended.
But it's like in kindergarten where you're telling a child, like, yes, you have the right to your feelings, but you don't have a right to take the toy and bash the kid over the head, right? Like, all learn this in kindergarten. Like, if someone says something mean, you know, maybe you can say something mean back, or you know, like whatever. It's almost like somebody's talking and saying bad things to you. You can always walk away. You can say something bad too. But like by hitting them, you're just escalating this.
100%. And even like, and when I say offense, I mean like to that extent. Yeah. And even to like raising your voice, like I think in any of these things, you win by showing it doesn't affect you.
Well, I think that's where Chris Rock used so much grace in that moment.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, what a classy guy, right? Like, I don't know anything about him personally, but I'm just like, wow, that was incredible. What a great way to handle
it. He was so classy,
And good for him that he didn't take the bait and like start hitting Will or going after him.
Yeah. Right? He could have ran after him or he continued on. Most people would have been like, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous.
And that's a professional. And I think he saved the Oscars by doing that, right? Because if he had started fighting back, they would have had to cut the telecast. And then everyone's just like, what happened?
That would have been amazing.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
God, no. Yeah, I think it's funny because, I just think it really shows that we all still need to, like, really work on
how we process, like, being hurt, right?
And it was funny because he did laugh at it, right? It wasn't him. It was a moment of him thinking he was being chivalrous. I really believe that he thought he was defending his family. And it's like,
sure, but you laughed at the joke first.
He laughed. You're caught on TV laughing. And I think that's probably, she rolled her eyes probably at him for laughing maybe. And then he was like,
I don't know where. Knows? There's not a good shot of her like where she's looking, right?
But you see him look at her. And he's like, fuck.
But the fact that the thing that irritates me the most is people blame her. And they're just like, why are they blaming her? I don't know. People saying that she's like, she cuts him down in public and they have an open relationship and she cheats on him. I'm like, first of all, if they have an open relationship, she's not cheating on him. And what about all the times he cheated on her? Like, I mean, if it's an open relationship, it probably goes two ways. Right. So I don't understand how people put women, like make women responsible.
Yeah.
And I remember I had that happen once with, on either Facebook or Instagram, where it was about domestic violence and just putting statistics up. And it was this day where it was just honoring women and people who suffered from that. And this troll gets on and writes like, what about all the men that get abused by women? And I said, nobody's saying that we shouldn't honor them. That's a thing too, but it's not systemic. All. Yes, it exists, but it's not nearly at the level of of women dealing with domestic violence. And then the guy wrote, well, if you guys weren't so annoying, we wouldn't hit you.
Wow.
And I was just
that's amazing. Okay, like, well, we found an abuser.
Block this guy. Don't want to be a part of it. But that was his reaction. Like, he was annoyed that a woman was sticking up for other women who deal with this. And then he put it on women.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's insane.
I know, it's so much easier for them to say, oh, it was a woman, than, oh, we need to deal with how we handle whatever it is that is irritating or annoying us. And it more than likely isn't anything to do. A lot of the time it's to do with possessiveness or jealousy.
Yes. So it's all more, the time. Yeah. I think 100%.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sure there is that odd case where, you know, I've seen it, the odd line, I'm saying this is very, very odd, where someone's like, hit me, slap me. And maybe a guy listening to this have experienced that. But most of the guys listening to this have not done that.
Right.
Yeah. You just walk away. It's the same way I don't, you know, when someone's rude to me at the bar, I don't throw a glass at them or something. You know, you breathe, you take a second. Right. And it's all about developing that level of like, and domestic abuse is so fucking like, what's that word? Like the statistics are so huge.
Yeah.
Like
it's systemic. It is. It's something that has gone on.
Women are all dying from men.
Yeah.
And it's like statistically, what is it? Something like 30 women in a day around the world. One in three women who are murdered is by their. What is it? Wow, one in three women who are murdered by someone close to them.
To someone they know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like it's something like the statistics are crazy.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a household where it was reversed. You know, there was a violent. You know, I saw violence from a woman onto a man.
And so you have seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like it doesn't exist, but it doesn't exist en masse like the way it does for women, right? Like,
do you
know that adage, like the biggest fear men have of women is that women will laugh at them.
Yeah.
And the biggest fear women have of men is that they will kill them. Yeah. And I was like, that's a little like that's not even, guys. It's not the same thing.
It's not even. And I truly think that. So everything that's going on, sometimes people forget that women have only very recently gotten a grasp of equality. I would never go. People are like, oh my God, the pandemic. I wish I was in the 20s. I would never go past this year. I would never go. I would never go back to last year. I would never go. Because every year, hopefully, we're getting more on that level of footing.
Yeah.
And so in the birth of humans, I think women have always had to learn how to use their words and be in touch with their feelings and communicate what they want. And exactly what I said to you earlier, where sometimes when I'm working with men at the bar, if I say, and if it's, and it's like some men are great, but there's definitely some sexist men that I've worked with in the past. And if I say, and there was one particular where when I would say things as my idea, he would shut it down. So I learned to be like, hey, do you think it would be a good idea if we didn't? What do you think about the chairs being outside today because it's a little cold? If I put it like a question, he's like, you know what? I was thinking we should. And so once it's his idea.
Yeah.
But that's like something in me as a woman where we're evolved to say and to take things without, because I cannot just go punch him in the face.
Some women, there are some women that can probably do that. I am not one of them, right? Like, so I know that. So yes, and you are not either. So we had to learn different ways to maybe subdue the situation, like not subdue, was it de-escalate the situation or make it safe for us. And whenever I'm in danger, do you notice that whenever you feel a little bit of threatened, like physically threatened, or you feel in danger, you become nicer as women? Yeah, it's just because we're like, we just don't want you to kill it. Like, we're literally 100%. In that mode of like, oh, yeah, no, okay, yeah, sure.
You know, most guys that I've had to say I don't want to date again, it has to be like really nice. Yes. I have to be careful of their ego. Yes. I have to be like, no, I'm just not in this right place now. And they'll still be like, but why? But I don't understand. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to murder me.
Yeah.
I had a guy leave me a voicemail because he couldn't understand why I wouldn't want to go on another date with him. Also, I can't post. You know how many male comedians could post that and make a laugh about that?
Yeah.
And they could hide his name. I can't do that because that guy will find me on a show and fucking murder me. So I can't do that. And
well,
it's
the
like,
odds are
or this other guy I went only on three dates with, and this is so funny because I actually was just talking to the girl that has we are connected in a way. So let's say I went on three dates with him. It was before Leland, and he was just quite intense, and I just was like, this isn't what I want. I felt really macho vibe off him. And I thought, you know, this isn't what I want. Never slept with him. And the last date, the third date, we went to, he like kind of insisted on me going to his apartment, and I was like, well, I'm definitely not gonna sleep with you. And when we got there, he was like introducing me to his dog, and his dog is like the love of his life. And he was like seeing how I would react with the dog, and it was just like way too much. And then he said he hates Kanye, and I was like, that's too much. I like Kanye. I like his music.
I love that was the line. Yeah, like, this
not
is
his
the
personality.
Line.
He hates his music.
He hates his music. And I'm like, done. Oh, I'm out.
Even though Leland's not a super big fan either, but that was like, you know, where you're like, oh, I just, that, you know, when someone says something, you're like, oh, I just don't like this person.
Right.
And he kept talking about his ex, and oh, it's too much. So anyway, fast forward, like, and I said to him, I'm just not in place for a relationship.
Right.
And he was like, okay, but you're just so nice, can we stay friendly? And I was like, of course. So we obviously still followed each other on Instagram.
Yeah.
2 months later, I'm in a relationship with Leland. Like maybe 3 months later, I don't know. Good, a very short period. And Leland's perfect for me. But this guy, so what he does then, a few months later, I get a message from him being like, hey, I recommended you for this comedy club. I know one of the bookers there. And this is the pay and all this stuff. And I wrote back and I said, I really appreciate, but please don't do that. I don't want anybody to think that I got anything for anything other than my hard work, and you haven't actually even seen my comedy.
So
you know, you hadn't seen it live, let's say. And I was like, so I feel really uncomfortable now. And then he was like, how dare you feel that this is anything other than me being nice? You're a competent comedian. Again, you haven't seen my comedy, so I don't know why you're calling me competent.
And but also competent, come on.
He kept messaging me being like, he was like gaslighting me through it and getting more and more aggressive. And you better be nice to me if I'm ever at the stand.
Oh my God.
Like, he goes, don't make it uncomfortable. And I was like, no one's making it uncomfortable. And I had to be really nice. I had to be like, I think you're misreading the tone of my messages. I'm just making sure it doesn't happen again. Because I didn't want to go around to other comedy clubs. I'm just letting you know that I'm able to pursue my own. This is my job,
right? I'm an independent woman, 100%.
And it does feel like you're doing it for something. But he just kept escalating, and I was like, no one's not going to be weird to you at the stand. Yeah. I'm just letting you know that.
And all
not
time you're like, please don't hurt me, please don't hurt me. Yeah. Like in your head, that's
and his are reading I don't more think, aggressive. Right.
I don't think a lot of, I don't know. I don't know if people understand that or not, but I think. The way I try to explain it is like in a snap, the situation could become threatening to us. And I don't think that's something that many men maybe experience. I'm not saying they don't understand it, but like they experience it where like literally in a split second, things can change from feeling safe to feeling completely unsafe.
Because even my dad, sometimes he'll be like, oh, just tell them to fuck off. And it's like, and I did that recently with one person and I'm still really happy I did that. But I will rarely do that because it's like they will murder me.
Well, and at least that's how you feel.
That's
right?
And this, even with this guy, it's like I should have been just like, yeah, don't do it again.
Yeah.
But it kept getting so much more aggressive in the messages that I thought I need to like control this, contain this. I don't want him to say anything else to this booker. And it's funny, I've now since talked to the booker and she told me, oh my, she goes, oh, so how's your friend? Like, I haven't seen him since we were dating. And I was like, he's not my friend. He had gone on 3 dates with me. And then I guess I didn't even know you guys had been going on dates, I guess then. And she was like, that is insane that he would recommend me as if you were his friend.
Right.
And he didn't tell me that he had gone on dates with you when he was currently going on dates with me.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because our other friend was there and he was like, did either of you fuck him? And we both at the same time said no. And then we high-fived and we were like, this guy's probably like these comedian bitches.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that was like, that's putting her like me in an awful position that if anything had come from that I feel like I owe him something,
right?
Or he's using it as a way to continue contact.
That's what
with
he's
me.
Doing right. He's in his head, he's like, well, I'm doing this nice thing and she's gonna do something nice for me, or this is what I'm doing so hopefully she likes me. And I don't understand that.
Yeah,
like that way of thinking.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's, and you're just saying no.
And here's the two things about that. If he is only doing it just to be nice, like he said, he wouldn't have got defensive.
Right. Yes.
He would have said,
no,
oh my God, I'm
something
so,
in return. 100%. For sure.
He would have
for
said, sure. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Sure. You're so right. I'm not, because he's not in comedy world.
Right.
Second thing, Matt.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh, no. He just works. He works for like a major company. But could you imagine I go to this major company that's nothing to do with comedy and went up and be like, I'm sorry, he needs a promotion? That'd be mortifying. You know, I start calling up the helpline, the customer service lines, being like, have you promoted such and such?
I think you should do it. And oh my God,
because he'll murder me.
Call his
murder
company.
Me.
Anonymously. He doesn't know. But that's, I thought he was a comedian this whole time.
No, that's
hilarious.
He never saw my comedy live. He's basing it all on, and he even said in the messages, well, you must be funnier than the one other female comedian he had seen. And it's like, what? Yeah. You're also so sexist?
Yeah.
I
that's hilarious.
I know.
I can't believe he's
and
not
I can't
a
believe
comedian.
He said my friend and named her and said to and her my friend. So he never told either of us. Like, what did he think was gonna happen? She would book me, we would all hang out, and then he'd be like, oh, by the way, I'm actually
Let's
going
have
on
a
dates
threesome.
With this.
Yes. You know, that's
probably
the goal.
That was probably his goal. Oh my God. But I'm so glad that was that was back in October, I think. And we've never had like a moment outside of her being in her workplace where we were just chatting. And it's the first time. It's so funny because she might have thought, oh, maybe like, who knows what she thought that person is. And I was like, he's not my friend. He's intense.
Yeah.
And she was like,
but also the fact that he has nothing to do with the comedy world and he's recommending a comedian to a show.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And he's texting me how much they pay.
And how much confidence do you have in your ability to get somebody booked in a field you have no business in.
It's so insane. That, but I've had, and I'm sorry to any of the old time listeners if you've heard this, but I think I might have just said it on the Patreon, but this is hilarious. So on Hinge, I matched with this guy who then went on to match with Sabine and Athir at the same time, but matched with me before. So he loves female comedians, obviously, mm-hmm. because at some stage, how have you matched with three female comedians who are also all friends?
You're going to have to tell me his name outside of this.
Oh, yeah, just in case
we all know, all the female comedians can know that this guy
is on Hinge hunting, and he's like he's a lot, but like I had matched him a while before. But what was funny with Athir and Sabine, he matched them while he was going on dates with Athir, which shows that he doesn't listen, because Athir and Sabine are best friends, or maybe doesn't pay attention because they would have been on her Instagram all the time, which is like, you just don't you like, there's no way that you're that he's probably just so clueless. But like Athir was laughing because she was like, I had talked about Sabine a lot, and then Sabine was like, wait, aren't you the guy who's like going on dates with my friend? And he's like, well, he's like to both of them, so what, like it's not a big deal. And it's like, yeah, but you don't pick from the same pool. Yeah. Like, what?
Maybe don't try to date best friends. Yeah, you know? If you want to date female comedians, fine, but maybe don't date.
Maybe
the
he
two.
Also was trying to get a threesome.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, threesome. That was in his mind.
So then when I had, and this was in the pandemic we matched, so it was like a long time before, but the reason why I didn't go on a date with him is because he messaged me one day and he goes, hey, what are you up to? And I said, I'm just writing jokes. And it was, for this folklore thing, so I had to write Irish jokes, and he said,
interesting.
Yeah, and he was like, what about? And I was like, oh, Irish folklore. And he goes, well, I couldn't help you there. And I was like, do you think you could help me if it wasn't Irish folklore?
Exactly, exactly.
And he's like, yeah. And I go, and he goes, just because I'm a dentist means I'm not funny. And I was like, well, actually, that probably means you. Or just because I'm a dentist doesn't mean I'm not funny. And I'm like, well, it probably doesn't mean that you aren't funny. But anyway,
yeah.
But
and
like,
also somebody saying like, have you ever had that when they see a show and they're like, oh, you know, I could be a comedian. Mm-hmm. All my friends think I'm so funny. And I'm just like, please.
Yeah, please. Go do an open mic.
Go do it.
They should do that.
Yeah.
Go do an open mic before you ever say I could be a comedian, because it's so much harder to be being funny around your friends. They're already a captive audience. Getting up and explaining to people who do not know you
I mean, we know the hardship of doing this. Like,
it takes years. It's a craft.
If you're saying that, there is a 0% chance that you will ever become a stand-up comedian.
Most comedians that are hilarious, I bet that they did not. Like, I did not think it would be funny when I did it.
Yeah, I mean, most of us are not like the class clowns or things like that. So the comedy develops for some people. I mean, for me, I can speak for myself. Like, it developed as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in my childhood, like sarcasm and
100%.
And then, you know, if you think back, you're like, yes, I made people laugh, but not. I didn't mean to, and you were using it as like this.
Yeah. My thing was I find it really uncomfortable to talk about like emotional or dark stuff or anything like that. Maybe I grew up and saw was like potentially abusive or violent. Right. So to make that not the word, and I keep saying edible. What's the word? Congestible or something? What's the word? So they can take it in.
Ingestible.
But
that no, that's like right. No, I know the word you're thinking of. It's.
I'm just going to wait for my friend who listens to this podcast is so great. Yeah. And he'll be like, hey, this is the word you were looking for.
Oh, no.
He's so intelligent. He has PhD. He knows who he is. I'm shouting out to you right now. He's the best. You'd actually love him. Anyway, we should all hang out sometime. But and he has a great fiance as well. So shout out to her too. They're just like the loveliest people. They're couple goals. It's so funny. Before I got with Leland.
I love how this missing word got us to this guy.
I will come back to that. But they were like, I spent Christmas with them and they were just like such a team and partnership. Aww. That I was like, this is what I want. And it's funny, like with Leland, then at Thanksgiving, I felt, if anything, even he was more a better partner than I was. But like, it felt like a team, and it felt
I'm
so
sure
great.
I'm sure you're a great partner.
Yeah,
too,
but like, I mean, he was like doing a lot
but
of the cooking.
But you felt that. You felt the like connection, right?
Yeah, so like, he was doing all the cooking, but he's super introvert. And he's like very calm and relaxing, but like entertaining people is not his thing. That's my thing. So I was doing all the talking and seeing people. And so it's like a nice compliment
to each other.
But so to make like whatever, me not speaking to my mother or anything I saw as a kid, digestible. I
love that I said ingestible.
Yeah, we were so close. I said edible. What I want people to eat my words. But But yes. To make it digestible, I would make it funny.
Right.
But you know what's so funny is then people actually don't take it that serious.
Yeah.
But that was my way of coping with it. But
it's how you cope with it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She nearly burnt down the house, but like, it's fine. I love fire.
Yeah. New beginning.
yeah. We're going to go move somewhere else. Like, she never did that. But wait, so what? How was it? Oh, so comedy. Oh, so then he said, I tried to explain it to him and I said, look, I mean, he was obviously a dentist assistant. And I said, like, I would never in my wildest dreams think that I could go in and just work on someone's teeth. And like, it's so wild to me that you think you could just get up on stage and be funny or help someone write a joke when you don't even tweet or anything. Like, there's not. And then he was just,
he didn't get it.
No,
right.
He didn't get that. He was like, well, but I'm funny. And then I just was like, I can't talk to this guy.
Yeah. I think also, though, like, they see us, and I think when you're a good comedian, it comes off so naturally that you're having a conversation. And so they think, oh, well, I'm funny during conversations. I can do that. They don't necessarily understand all the work that goes behind it, and that in some ways it is like doing theater where you are having some sort of a script, and then every day you have to go and make it new, right? So
keep it fresh.
I don't think they get that, right? They just, because they see it, like, if it's done well, it looks so effortless.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's it's just a compliment to you in some ways, right? But of course, he makes it about himself. Yeah. Instead of being like, wow, you're so good at your job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you made your job look so easy that I think I can do it, you know?
That is actually a really good point.
Yeah,
they should go see more bad comedy.
I know. I was like, go to some open mics. Let's see how you do. Yeah,
absolute torture.
Right. I've had a guy tell me that. And he's like, yeah, I'm good at everything I do. And I was like, good for you. Like,
I mean,
I don't know. Do you want me to? I just think he wants me to like pump up his ego and say, yes, yes, of course you can do this. And I was like, no, it's not true.
No, 100%. Like, I mean, there's all this talk of like Kanye confidence after the documentary. And I'm like, yes, if you have talent, you kind of need that confidence because this is like a cutthroat world and all that stuff. But a lot of people walking around with Kanye confidence and no fucking talent and no work ethic.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. With Kanye confidence and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and the thing is, what's so frustrating is like in any job or per se, and this is an American thing as well, where you're told you can be anything you want to be. You cannot. Yeah. And you can if you're willing to work your ass off. If you don't have the talent, I do think that you can work really, 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 really hard and like figure that out. Like, I remember in school when I was like 15 or something, our teacher being like, there is talent, but people can learn it. And she showed how to like mathematically draw a head. And like, I remember my friend who was really bad at drawing then producing a really good portrait just because following the maths and like working hard and like practicing.
But that's like a craft, right? Like,
yeah, if, and that's so
if
like
you really some, like trades if you work at them hard enough. Unless I do think you need some talent.
Yeah, yeah.
But true. I remember I was in an acting class and the teacher said it's 2% talent and it's 98% hard work. And I read a lot of stories about people who are considered to be great. And everyone always like, oh, they're so talented. Like people who are stars in chess or in sports or in just different, I can't remember the other roles, but they just talked about how they started young. They had amazing teachers or coaches and it was the work. But people don't see that. They don't see it like the 10 years.
Yeah. Like that people even put watching in. That Williams, King Richard, like they were training since they were kids. Like no, 100%. Right. Yeah, they don't see all. But even I find, and I tried to say this to Tom and he was like laughing at me because he was like on the podcast. But I do find there's something about being a woman and having a young face that people just presume that I've been doing comedy less if they haven't seen my comedy because they think I'm really young.
Yeah.
And then there's something, and then when I'm like, when they see me or they'll be like, oh my God. And when I say how long I'm doing it and they're like, oh, there's people judge you how you look as well.
They do.
They do. Or they might be like, or even when I was touring, someone was like, oh my God, like you have like so much new jokes since I saw you last and you've improved so much. And I was like, yeah, you saw me 2 years ago.
I know.
What does anybody else, what do you mean? If you have seen someone and in 2 years they haven't improved, I mean, even when we're doing this 20 years, I feel like you're still improving every single
day.
You're evolving. Yeah. Like same with artists, they do a body of work, then a year later, it's a different body of work, then a year later, it's a different body of work. Right. Like there's no reason why you don't
grow
constantly.
And you can continuously grow.
Unless you get fame. The problem is if you get famous, then you start doing comedy about being famous. And who is that relatable to?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It just becomes, I don't know. It depends.
It depends. Yeah. But before we go, let's see how long. Okay. And I'll just ask this question just for an extra. Well, actually, before I ask this question, and I'll keep this question for the Patreon. Where can people find you?
My schedule is on Instagram.
But not for stalkers.
Not for stalkers.
I mean, it's mostly Irish, stalker, UK listeners and Australians, so you're fine.
Please don't follow me.
Oh, actually, so there's a big UK... No, big. It's not like big, but like, I mean, the majority of listeners are UK or Irish. So make sure you follow Sonia because you're going to be in Ireland and the UK.
Yes. Yes, in June. I'm still planning the tour dates, but I'll be there in June for the full month, I believe. And you can find my schedule on Instagram. I'm at Sonia Vi Comedy. And I just put flyers up with all the, you know, the names and the dates. And I'm usually doing comedy every night. So it's not hard to find me.
Yeah, go support comedy. Thank you. Especially in this time, which is so dangerous. Will Smith, you know?
The world has changed.
Yeah, fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Okay, so then for the Patreons, and for anybody who wants to, all the links for yours will be in the bio of this episode and the Patreon. Go support, because at some stage, I got to get rid of all these episodes because I talk way too much about my personal life.
No, you don't.
On the Patreon, yeah. No, not on this.
Well, people obviously enjoy it, they wouldn't subscribe.
Yeah, but I would like more to subscribe, and then I have to at some point. If I ever get like mega successful, I'm gonna like delete all those episodes.
Well, you know what's interesting is this actor told me this. She said at the end of the year she deletes all her tweets.
Yeah, actually, another
and
comedian
she goes
told that
way
too.
In 10 years, nobody can look back at my tweets and say I said something insensitive. And I was like, that's brilliant.
No, seriously, because now a word that is offensive is, and I'll just again keep this at the Patreon, but is crazy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.